You're listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. I'm Dan Keller, and this show first aired October 2nd, 2025. On Thursday, September 18th, retired professor Peter Eglin received word from Wilfrid Laurier University's Safety, Health, Environment, and Risk Management Division that the September 19th event that he was helping to organize and speak at would be postponed because it required more time to, quote, do a proper risk assessment, unquote. The event was a discussion between Eglin, who released the book Analyzing the Israel Effect in Canada, a Critical Autoethnography, in 2024, and political activist, author, and NDP leadership hopeful Yves Engler. The event was titled Canada and the Genocide in Gaza, and was to be moderated by PhD candidate and peace activist Tamara Lawrence. The event was scheduled through the university's online booking platform on August 27th. When he was actively teaching at Laurier, Eglin had brought in Yves Engler several times to guest lecture in his course on human rights. There were no objections there. On Wednesday, September 17th, 2 days before the event, Eglin received an email by a so-called safety and compliance specialist from the university saying, quote, "We have been informed about an event that is taking place on Friday discussing Canada and the genocide in Gaza. This would fall within the criteria for event safety risk management planning in our area, and we are here to support you with safety planning," unquote. The school then asked for more information about the event, which Eglin provided, and they set a meeting for Thursday, which Eglin and Lawrence attended. Late Thursday afternoon, the school sent the message explaining that the event had to be postponed, but no details on why. Eglin told CKMS News that he had never encountered such an action by WLU during his decades at the school. The organizers announced the event cancellation online, and an email campaign was launched on justpeaceadvocates.ca. On the 19th, the organizers decided to push forward with the event, and it did take place, without incident, in the common area outside of the locked classroom, with 50 people in attendance. Security dropped by the discussion but did not disrupt the event, and, according to Eglin, did not stick around for too long before leaving. This show features an interview with Peter Eglin. CKMS News also reached out to WLU and initially received written responses which are referenced in the interview. However, the school did not respond to follow-up questions regarding any possible threats the school received, how long a security assessment usually takes, or if anyone pressured the school to postpone the event. CKMS News did review the communication between event organizers and Wilfrid Laurier University. Here is the interview with Peter Eglin.
I'm a retired professor of sociology from Wilfrid Laurier University. I retired in 2019. What's probably most relevant to this occasion is that I wrote and published a book that came out in 2024 called Analyzing the Israel Effect in Canada, a Critical Autoethnography.
You filled out this form end of August, sent it to Laurier. Now, 2 days before the event, a safety and compliance specialist from WLU messaged you saying that the event would fall within the criteria for event safety risk management planning, and that you needed to fill out an extra form and meet with them before the event. Well, I guess what happened at that point?
There was no indication of why this was being required. The email I got said something like, "It has come to our attention." I don't know why it came to their attention or what about it excited their interest. That's the question. So the email came on the Wednesday, 2 days before. I filled out the form that comes with it, sent it in on the Wednesday afternoon. There was then the meeting that had to be, that they wanted to hold the following morning on Thursday online, that I attended with Tamara. We went on for about an hour. They were concerned about things like the room holds 125. How were we going to ensure that we didn't fill it beyond that number? I said, well, we'll count people as they come in. So they wanted to know if somebody would be on the door. Did we have volunteers to sort of manage that kind of thing? And Tamara gave a very good account. We could draw on various other people who would manage crowd control, if you like, if it ever came to that. God knows why anybody would think that we would be swamped with people. But so that was the kind of issue. Were we going to register people? No. It didn't seem to me that from the end of that meeting that we had anything to worry about. That afternoon, the email came from the head of risk management and safety planning that said two things: that where the event had been characterized initially was not what it was turning out to be, and there was a discrepancy. And secondly, that they didn't have enough time to produce a safety plan, and therefore they would postpone the event. I subsequently turned that into cancelling, because to postpone it was to be to make mean that it wouldn't happen, because Yves was off on his tour for his leadership bid across the country. There was very little chance of getting back to do this again.
Did they tell you how long a postponement would even be and how much time they would need?
No, no details whatsoever.
In the correspondence to me from Laurier, when I contacted them about this situation, they repeated that the scope of the event had changed from the original booking. Can you expand on that? Like, looking at the original booking, you were booking for a talk. Did they say that, like, what the difference in scope was then?
They didn't explain that. The initial room booking was quite general. It was an academic event. And there wasn't much in the room booking questionnaire that you fill out to give specifics. It was in the subsequent questionnaire that I filled out for risk management, where I said it would be a talk by me on this topic, a talk by Yves Engler on this topic, Canada and the genocide in Gaza. It would be moderated by Tamara. Basically, what we said it was, what I said it was, and that's what it was.
Right.
So they didn't explain in so many words in the decision we got on the Thursday afternoon from the head of planning what it was that was discrepant and why it needed to be postponed.
Again, in the email that Laurier sent to me, their communications team, they said this is a standard requirement for all events where there could be heightened risks. Did they explain any risks? Like, did they tell you about any threats or anything that came into the university about your event?
Not a word. There was nothing at the hour-long meeting that we had online, in the director's email, or in the president's message that on the Friday, that because I protested to the president and said, can you overturn this decision? And President McClatchy wrote back to me an email on the Friday, essentially doubling down on what the head of security had said, without any specifics. No, not nothing. No, what threats they'd receive, what the safety concern was, nothing. If they had something, they didn't communicate it to me.
And so you move forward to announcing that this happened online, but then the event went forward in a common space at the university. Can you tell me about how the event went and if there was any issue?
There was no issue. Initially, on the Thursday night, when we knew we'd been postponed or cancelled, we launched an online letter writing campaign that eventually, late on Friday, before the event, had produced over 11,000 letters that went to the university president protesting this postponement / cancellation. On the Friday, we wondered whether we should try for another location, whether we should go outside on campus. And in the end, we thought, no, we'll go to the room itself and see what happens. So we went, the three of us, Tamara, Eve, and I, to room 106 in the Schlegel building on the campus. The door was locked. But it so happened, something we didn't know, that the area just outside the classroom door was kind of an open area where there was seating, tables and chairs where students could study or lounge, you know. And there were, what, 8 or 9 people present in that space. And we told them our predicament and asked them if they wouldn't mind ceding the space to us so we could hold the event there. And in fact, they did. The people present got up, and I don't know if any of them stayed, some of them left. And then we proceeded to set up. We had a mic. We had posters and books, my books, Eve's books. We set them out on the table. We had a banner, and we went ahead and did what we did. 50 people showed up. We counted them. I gave my talk. Eve gave his. We had question and answers. Tamara made some announcements. Irene O'Toole said a few words about Friends for Palestine. And we were there till about 9:30 from 7. So we had the event, and given that it was in a kind of open space rather than a classroom, it was quite congenial. So it came off in the end. And there was this slightly puzzling thing. Some of our group noticed that a couple of members of the security staff were around, noticed what we were doing, but did not interfere. A thoroughly peaceful event, you know, with no interruptions, nobody yelling slogans. No, I don't know. I mean, we didn't expect that anyway. I'll tell you, the most raucous event I ever attended at the two universities in connection with this topic was when Norman Finkelstein came to the University of Waterloo in 2006 in June. And there was some shouting inside the room. The security was there. They didn't do anything. He handled it. It all went off, and, you know, nothing untoward occurred. It was a tense for a while, but he famously made that wonderful speech at the end in answer to one of the students. So nothing happened that was out of keeping with the setting.
Is there any follow-up with the university, or have they contacted you about going forward with the event anyway, or will you be following up to find out what the threats were or how you can run a similar event in the future without this issue?
I thought that I would write back to the president and ask those kind of questions and express my opinion upon what had happened. But so far, I haven't done it. I've just been a little shell-shocked by the whole thing.
Has anything similar to this ever happened to you or to organizations you've been a part to at the university? Like, have you ever had this kind of last-minute disruption to your events at the hands of the university itself?
No, not had that before. Something similar, though not quite the same, happened in January of 2009 during Operation Cast Lead, that Israel was attacking Palestine, and I was on a six-month sabbatical leave at the time, so I was at home. But I went on campus because I was outraged by what they bombed the Islamic University of Gaza, and I thought the university should respond to the bombing of a fellow university. And I went on campus and sort of started to speak in the concourse impromptu, and announced that I would, at the end of what I just sort of ranted for about 45 minutes, and then said I would be back the following day. Well, that evening I got emails from the manager of the hub about booking space in the concourse, and from the dean of students and from the dean of arts, three emails that evening, requesting meetings and asking that I not come back the following day. And so that's the closest that I've come to that. But I did come back the following day, and I opened the mic that I was using to students who wanted to speak in opposition to what I was saying. Then the dean of students said, okay, well, that's all right, because it's kind of, you know, two-sided. I ended up going into the concourse four times, and by the fourth time, we had quite a crowd, and the university had called the hate crimes unit of Waterloo Regional Police. They were present, but they let it go ahead. They didn't stop it, but they were very concerned about, you know, what might happen, I guess. That's the closest I can think of to anything that like what happened this time.
After a moment, Dr. Peter Eglin thought of another incident where WLU had intervened in his free expression on campus and through a university platform. Once again, the topic being discussed included a critical analysis of Israeli state actions towards Palestinians.
I got something else down. And this is all documented in the book, right? It's all about me, you know. In 2001, in late summer, August of 2001, I was asked by the university to submit a piece to the university website coordinator on the Palestinian question that would redress the balance. Barry Kay, the late Barry Kay, who was in the political science department, had written a piece, very pro-Israel as he is, now as he was, and it had excited some response from students at the university. We had a new website, and these were commentaries that faculty could submit and would go up on the website by invitation. And Barry had put one up, sort of a pro-Israel position, and I was asked to write something from a Palestinian point of view. So I was an invited piece, which I submitted on September the 10th. On September the 11th, of course, 9/11 occurred, and my piece was taken down from the website at noon of that day. The reason given by the president then, Bob Rosehart, was that there were public safety issues that had to be taken into account. Whatever they were, the thing was, Barry's piece was not taken down, but mine was. Later, sometime that week, I got something stuck under my door of my office. Turned out to be a copy of an email from an alumnus of the university, somebody who had been a student, a young man, who had written to the director of publicity and publications at 2 o'clock in the morning on the 11th, accusing me of being anti-Semitic and that should never have been allowed on the university website. So I think that might have had some effect on what the university did on that occasion. And to be frank, I think that some components of the Israel lobby got to them on this occasion, and that explains why they suddenly had a safety issue.
That was an interview with Dr. Peter Eglin, a professor emeritus who retired from Wilfrid Laurier in 2019. While the discussion did end up happening, albeit in a modified format, CKMS News will be following up with Laurier regarding the unanswered questions around the event's abrupt postponement. Finally, in the interview, Peter Eglin mentions a disruption to Normal Finkelstein's speech at the University of Waterloo in 2010. Check out the show notes for a link to that clip. This is Dan Keller for CKMS News on 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. Thank you for tuning in. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Heritage Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program on radiowaterloo.ca/news and listen to all the LJI content at frequencynews.ca. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca.